الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue reading the treatise of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى. فضائل القرآن, the virtues of the Quran. In our previous class, we were reading from the chapter the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى. باب فضائل تلاوة القرآن وتعلمه وتعليمه. The chapter on the virtues of reciting the Quran and learning it and teaching it. We had read the first verse that the author he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, and discussed some benefits with regards to that. And we continue reading. He says, rahimahullah, wa qawluhu ta'ala, ma kana li basharin an yu'tiyahu Allahu al-kitaba wal hukma wal nubuwwata thumma yaqulu lin-nasi kunu 'ibadan li min dunillah walakin كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون. And the author, he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, and the meaning of which is, it is not possible for any human being to whom Allah has given the book and al-hukum, meaning the knowledge and the understanding of the laws of the religion and prophethood, that he will say to the people, be my worshippers rather than the worshippers of Allah. On the contrary, he would say to them that you must be Rabbaniyun, meaning learned men of religion who practice what they know and also teach others, because you are teaching the book and you are studying it. Because you are teaching the book and you are studying it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified in this verse that it's not proper, nor is it even possible for anyone who was truly given revelation, truly given revelation and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he would ever call them to worship other than Allah. Rather, all of the prophets and messengers, they called to the tawheed of Allah azza wa jal, and that Allah, he should be worshipped alone. And that an-nubuwa is the highest level of righteousness and piety, and the highest level of honor and goodness that one can achieve in this life. And an-nubuwa, prophethood, it requires and it necessitates complete servitude and submission and surrender to Allah wholeheartedly and sincerely. So anyone who truly received revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal, it's not possible that he would ever call the people to worship him besides Allah, or anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, they would call them to learn the religion and to implement that and to study that and to abide by it. So this is the point of evidence for the author here, the virtue of the Qur'an. Those who are truly calling to the Qur'an, they are al-Rabbaniyun. And from what has been mentioned about al-Rabbaniyun is that they are Ahlul Qur'an, that they are the people of the Qur'an. So the people who receive revelation, the prophets and messengers, those who have guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal, they call the people to be Rabbaniyin. وَلَكِنْ كُنُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابَ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ. But rather, on the contrary, what they would say, and those who had truly received revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal, is that you should be رَبَّانِيِّينَ, meaning learned men of religion who practice what they know and teach others, because of what you are teaching the book, because you are teaching the book and you are studying it, because you are teaching the book and you are studying it. So with regards to this term here, al-Rabbaniyun, this is the plural of Rabbani. And this is a description that a person, he will have. Al-Rabbani, yukunu Rabbaniyan. And this is a great and noble description, a praiseworthy characteristic and trait, that a person, he'll be described as being Rabbani. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's an ascription to al-Rububiyyah. And al-Rabbani is someone who has a strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Others, they mentioned it has an ascription to at-tarbiyah, cultivating and raising. And in reality, both of them have a similar understanding. So no doubt the one who is truly Rabbani, he is somebody who has a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his faith is sincere and pure and firm. And likewise, he is someone as well who strives to help others and to cultivate them and to raise them upon that beneficial knowledge and righteous actions he himself is cultivated upon. So it has been narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that he said about this term here, al-Rabbani. He said that, وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ, but rather you should be رَبَّانِيِّينَ. He said, حُكَمَا عُلَمَا حُلَمَا. The meaning of the رَبَّانِيِّين, حُكَمَا عُلَمَا حُلَمَا. That they will be people of wisdom and knowledge and forbearance. People of wisdom and knowledge and forbearance. And it's also been narrated from Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah. He said al-fuqaha, that they should be people of understanding and knowledge of the jurisprudence and the laws of the religion. It's been narrated by Sa'id ibn Jubayr rahimahullah ta'ala that he says that al-Rabbani huwa al-'alim alladhi ya'malu bi'ilmihi. Al-Rabbani huwa al-'alim alladhi ya'malu bi'ilmihi. The one who's considered Rabbani, the one who is considered Rabbani, he's a scholar, a person of knowledge who implements and applies the knowledge that he has. In this slide, it's been mentioned likewise, huwa alladhi yarubbu ilmahu bi'amalihi. Alladhi yarubbu ilmahu bi'amalihi. The one who cultivates and raises his knowledge by way of his actions, meaning that he causes his knowledge to benefit and to grow and to produce goodness by implementing it and applying it in his life. So this is what has been mentioned here. Al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullahu ta'ala, he summarized these terms here. He says, أي علماء حكماء حرماء معلمين للناس ومربيهم أي علماء حكماء حرماء معلمين للناس ومربيهم بصغار العلم قبل كباره عاملين بذلك. He said that they are the scholars, the people of wisdom and forbearance, those who teach the people and cultivate them, the small knowledge before the great knowledge, There are those who implement that. Likewise, it's been narrated from Al-Bukhari rahimahullah that he says, Al-Rabbani man yu'allimu an-nas sigar al-ilmi qabl kibarihi. The one who would teach the people the small knowledge before the large knowledge. But what is intended by this is not considering the knowledge to be small, but what is being referred to is teaching the people the principles and foundations and fundamentals of their religion that are incumbent for them to know before teaching them the affairs that are subsidiary or considered branching and stemming from this. This has also been mentioned by Sheikh Faisal Ali Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala. He has a very great tafsir. It's in two volumes, and it's very precise and concise. And much of it is actually transmissions from the previous tafsir, especially of At-Tabari and Al-Baghawi and Ibn Kathir and others. Likewise, and many times he'll mention brief commentary as well. And from that here, with regards to this verse, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, والعالم الرباني هو الذي يعلم الناس أصول العلم قبل فروعه وواضحاته قبل مشكلاته. That the person who is a scholar, who is considered Rabbani, a person of knowledge who is considered Rabbani, is the one who teaches the people the fundamentals of the religion before the subsidiary affairs and the clear aspects of the religion before the issues that are unclear or could be considered problematic for those who are not grounded firmly in the sciences of the deen. It's been mentioned by Ibn Jarir al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, وَالْرَبَّانِ الْجَامِعِ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ وَالْفِقْهِ الْبَصِيرِ بِالسِّيَاسِةِ وَالْتَدْبِيرِ وَالْقِيَامِ بِأُمُورِ الرَّعِيَّةِ وَمَا يُصْلِحُهُمْ فِي دِينِهِمُ وَالدُّنْيَاهُمْ. The one who is truly considered Rabbani, he's the one who couples, he gathers along with his knowledge, understanding of the religion. And he is also someone who has insight with regards to governing and disposing the affairs of the people, taking care of the best interests of the people and the society. And he is the one who is establishing the affairs of the people and that which is good for them in their worldly affair and their religion. Also, it's been mentioned as well from the Salaf that the one who is al-Rabbani, man kana indahu ilmun bil halali wal haram wal amri wal nahi. He is the one who has knowledge of the permissible and impermissible and the commandments and the prohibitions. And no doubt he is also one that would implement that and apply that. And the aspect of evidence here for the author is that some of the Salaf, they mentioned that the Rabbaniyun hum ahlul Quran. They are the people of the Quran. So no doubt there are those who themselves have learned the Quran and learned the legislation that is found therein, and they have made great effort in striving against their souls to purify their souls and to rectify their selves and their manners and their conduct until they are upright upon that law and legislation and the straight path that is revealed in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they strive to help others upon that way, this person here is considered Rabbani, and this person here has a high and lofty status, and this person here is what is being praised in the likes of this verse here, and that's the evidence for the author clarifying the virtues of the Quran and those who learn it and hold fast to it and teach it. From the benefits of this noble verse, we see the virtue of knowledge and the distinguishing characteristic and trait of the people of knowledge, and that the greatest of all knowledge is the knowledge found in the Quran. Then the greatest of all knowledge is the knowledge of the Quran. Also, we have seen here that what has come with regards to the interpretation of the Rabbaniyin, all these different benefits mentioned from the Salaf, and that this gathers knowledge and application of that knowledge and teaching and spreading that knowledge and being patient upon that way. And being a patient upon that way. And also we see the obligation of being sincere with knowledge and applying the knowledge and calling to the knowledge. Because the prophets, they were the most sincere, and they never called the people to themselves or called the people to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, they called to Allah sincerely and wholeheartedly, establishing the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His sake. And this is what is incumbent upon those who follow the prophets and messengers likewise in learning and seeking knowledge and applying knowledge and teaching and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, from the benefits the people of knowledge have mentioned about this verse is the ismatul anbiya, is that the anbiya, the prophets and messengers, they are safeguarded from disbelief and from paganism and polytheism and misleading the people and having foul and lowly intentions. Ma kana li basharin an yu'tiyahu Allahu al-kitaba wal-hukma wan-nubuwwata thumma yaqulu lin-nasi kunu 'ibadan li min dunillah walakin kunu rabbaniyin bima kuntum tu'allimuna al-kitaba wa bima kuntum tadrusun wa bima kuntum tadrusun. So therefore it's incumbent to understand this affair, that the people of knowledge, they are the people of knowledge, the scholars and the students, those who are sincere and wholehearted in their faith and in the application of their faith, and they have a pure intention, hoping good for the people. They're the ones who are establishing their religion in the society, and they're the ones who are ordering the people with the good and admonishing them, and they're the ones who are reminding the people and forbidding them, and they're the ones who are guiding and directing the people to the goodness and to the straight path. So no doubt they have the highest and most lofty status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life and in the hereafter. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And whose speech is better than one who calls to Allah and he works righteous deeds and he says, indeed, I'm from the Muslims. Meaning no one is better than this person. No one is better than this person, and no one's speech is better than the likes of this person. من دعا لله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. After this, the author, he begins mentioning narrations, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he begins with the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha. أنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الماهر بالقرآن مع السفرة الكرام البررة والذي يقرأ القرآن ويتتعتع فيه وهو عليه شاق له أجران أخرجاه. The author, he mentioned that Aisha radiallahu anha reported that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, the one who is skilled in the Quran is associated with the noble upright recording angels, and the one who reads the Quran and stutters with it and finds it difficult will have a double reward. Narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So it's very clear here the virtue of the Quran, and the one who strives to learn the Quran, even if it's difficult for him. But especially the one who was diligent in having love and care for the Quran until he became proficient in its recitation and proficient in its application. And he has a high and lofty rank. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Mahir bil-Qur'an ma'a safarat al-kiram al-barara. That the one who is skilled and proficient in the Quran is associated, yani coupled along, is associated with the noble upright recording angels. The people of knowledge, they mention Al-Mahir hu al-Hadhiq. Al-Mahir al-Hadhiq, the one who is very skilled and proficient. the one who is very skilled and proficient in something. So al-mahara is al-hidq, what it's kind, wa ijadatu shay, a person, he has mahara, he is very skilled and proficient in performing the action that he's engaged in, or that which he's involved in. So this person here is engaged in reciting the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described him with mahara, al-mahir, al-mahir bil-Quran. And this is the one who has the fluent recitation, the one who has a strong and firm memorization, and he does not hesitate, nor does he forget. Rather, he recites fluently, and his recitation flows easily, and it's not difficult for him. And it's not difficult for him because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had facilitated for him and made it easy, and favored him and blessed him with this bounty of memorizing and learning the Quran until he became proficient. The one who has this quality and this trait, he reached a high status until he's associated with these noble angels. And Nawawi, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, al-mahir wal-hadhik, al-hadhik al-kamil al-hifz, alladhi la yatawakafu wa la tashuku alayhi al-qira'ah, bijawdati hifzihi wa itqani. The one who is the mahir, he's the hadiq, the one who is very skilled in provision. Al-kamirul hifz, the one who has complete memorization. Alladhi la yatawakaf, the memorization that whenever he recites, he does not stop. He can continue and continue and continue, and it's easy for him, alhamdulillah. Wa la tashuku alayhi al-qira'ah, and the reciting the Quran is not hard or difficult for him. He has no problems. بِجَوْدَتِ حِفْذِهِ وَإِتْقَانِهِ, because of the good quality of his memorization and the precision of that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his grace and from his mercy to make us from the people of the Quran. So this person here, مَعَ السَّفَرَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْبَرَرَةِ, he's with السَّفَرَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْبَرَرَةِ. These are all descriptions of the noble angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-safara is the plural of safir, and the safir is the rasul. So as-safara hum ar-rusul min al-malaika, ar-rusul min al-malaika. So the malaika, they are many different types, and they have different qualities, and likewise different functions that Allah has entrusted to them. From them, there are angels that are messengers, and from them there are angels that are likewise scribes and the like. So here is mentioning that he's with as-safara al-kiram al-barara. The one who is skilled in the Quran is associated with the noble, upright, righteous angels. And the one who reads the Quran and stutters with it and finds it difficult will have a double reward. Safara is the plural of safir, and kiram is the plural of kareem. Well, barara is the plural of, we took it this morning, bar and bar. Yani the bar, the one who is righteous, So these are descriptions of the angels. So this person here, he has reached this high and lofty status. So just as the angels, they have this high and lofty status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person in this life likewise can achieve this high and lofty rank by becoming proficient. With the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal, proficient in its mode of recitation and reciting it fluently and memorizing it properly and having concern with that. But also we will see that this requires a person to be proficient in the application of that as well, and sincere in abiding by the law and legislation that is found in that recitation, And one wording of this narration in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَهُوَ حَافِظٌ لَهُ مَعَ سَفَرَةِ الْكِرَامِ وَمَثَلُ الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ وَهُوَ يَتَعَهَدُهُ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَدِيدٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرَانِ. And the parable of the one who recites the Quran and he has memorized it. Indication to what is intended here, any the memorization, the importance of memorizing the Quran. وَهُوَ حَافِظٌ لَهُ مَعَ سَفَرَةِ الْكِرَامِ. Then this person here is with those noble and righteous angels. وَمَثَلُ الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ وَهُوَ يَتَعَاهَدُهُ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَدِيدٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرَانِ. And the parable of the one who recites it, and he has to go over it time after time, and it's difficult or hard for him, then he has two rewards. two rewards. So in the narration, the author, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioning the one وَلَذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَتَتَعْتَأُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ لَهُ أَجْرًا. And the one who recites the Qur'an and he stutters in the recitation, and he falls, and he'll stutter because of the difficulty he finds in pronouncing the letters or connecting the letters, or also because of the difficulty that he finds in his memorization, and he stutters. He can recite some, and then he will stop and hesitate because he cannot remember the next word. He cannot remember the continuation of the verse, so he will stop, and it's difficult for him like this. Or the one that finds it difficult even to recite the letters and to pronunciate. The letters property, he's finding difficult like this, he's stuttering. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, lahu ajran, he will have two rewards. He will have two rewards. In the other wording, wahu yata'ahaduhu, and he's going over it time after time, meaning that this person here, he's still diligent, and he's still working hard, and he's trying his best to learn how to recite it fluently, or he's trying his best to memorize it precisely, but he's finding difficulty in that. He's still making effort, and he's striving, but he continues to stutter and have difficulty in pronouncing the letters, or pronouncing the words in the proper manner, or he continues to memorize time after time, but then he forgets. It doesn't stick in his memorization. Maybe sometimes a person, he will memorize a page from the Quran and then move to the next page, and if he's not careful, that previous page will be forgotten. He will forget whenever he goes back to it, and he will try to recite it, and it will not be there. Or it will be there, but it will be vague, and he will not be able to recite it fluently. So this person, he should not give up, nor should he despair. Rather, he should have great hope and glad tidings that he has a great reward for this effort. A great reward for this effort, and if he is sincere and he continues and he perseveres, then inshallah he will be like those who are proficient. So those people who reached the level of mahara and they became mahiran bil Quran, it didn't happen overnight. No doubt sometimes Allah, he blesses a person and makes it easy for them, but this is effort that they put in, and they strive, and they go through the difficulty and hardship. They stutter themselves, they forget themselves, until Allah opens up their heart for them and they memorize fluently. Till Allah opens up their heart for them until they recite it proficiently. Alhamdulillah. So in any case, they both have a great reward. So from the benefits of this narration, barakallahu fikum, is the encouragement to memorize the Quran and to memorize it precisely, and likewise the clarification of the high and lofty status of those who do that. And also the great virtue of the one who is proficient with the Quran. And also in this narration as well, from the benefits is the clarification of the multiplication of the reward of the one who is striving it. He finds difficulty in reciting or memorizing the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. He has his reward is multiplied. The one who recites and he finds difficulty in recitation or in memorization or in both of them, then his reward is multiplied if he is sincere and striving in that way. The people of not, as they mentioned here, that we should not misunderstand. This does not mean that the one who is stuttering or finding difficulty has a greater reward than the one who is proficient. Rather, the one who is proficient, he has a greater reward. But the one who is having difficulty, he has two rewards. He has a reward for his effort and also the difficulty that he's going through. And for his effort and the difficulty that he's going through. And it's been narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Aisha radiallahu anha, ajruki ala qadri nasabiki, that your reward is according to the hardship that you bear. And this is not in the absolute sense, but whenever a person is striving in the path of Allah, whenever a person is striving in the path of Allah and then suddenly he's facing challenges and hardships and difficulties and he is patient with that and he takes the legislative means to deal with that, then his reward will be more and multiplied. And then his reward will be multiplied and greater. But this does not mean that we'll go look for a hardship hoping to have the reward for that. For example, if somebody was working outside in the cold, and he has the opportunity to make wudu with cold water or with warm water, he would not say, oh, I'm going to make wudu with cold water because the reward is greater whenever there's hardship. La, this is not the proper understanding. Not the hardship that is sought after.
person, he will not look for hardship, and he will not search for hardship, and he will not prefer the hardship. But if it comes, one will deal with that and face that with knowledge and wisdom, and the reward is according to the hardship that he faces. So the one who is striving with the Quran, but he's facing hardship and challenges, and learning it and memorizing it, and learning it and reciting it and memorizing it, then he has a multiplied reward because of the hardship that he's facing. Alhamdulillah. But the one who has dealt with that hardship and he has faced those challenges until he become proficient, his reward is greater and he's high and lofty, and his status and rank like that of those noble angels who are obedient and pious and righteous to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also an indication here that people of knowledge mentioned that the person of the Quran, if he becomes fluent and proficient in this manner, that likewise his etiquettes and his conduct and his behavior should be of a high and lofty status, because he's being compared to the angels, those who are obedient and humble and submissive to Allah, and those who are pure, and they're and those who are pure and not corrupted. So likewise, a person of the Quran, he should be distinguished by not only his recitation of the Quran, but by his noble and lofty manners and his distinguishing conduct from learning the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After this, the author, he says, وَلِلْ بُخَارِي عَنْ عُثْمَانُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنُّهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. Now the author, he mentioned the narration of Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the narration which is collected by al-Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, from Uthman ibn Affan, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, that he reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the best among you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it. The best among you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it. And this narration in Sahih Bukhari, it's narrated, the one who narrates An Uthman, his name is Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami. His name is Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the one who's narrating from Uthman. And Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, rahimahullah, he's from the Tabi'een. He's from the students of Uthman, obviously, and likewise from the students of Ibn Mas'ud and Ali radiallahu anhum, and he's from those who narrate the Quran. He's from those who learn the Quran from the Sahaba, and they narrate it any to us, any from those who are on the chain back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the early generations of those who carried the Quran. It's mentioned that he said, after narrating this narration in Sahih Bukhari, وَأَقْرَأَ أَبُو عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ فِي إِمْرَةِ عُثْمَانِ حَتَّى كَانَ الْحُجَّاجِ, that Abu Abdurrahman, he taught the people the Quran from the Khilafah of Uthman all the way until the time of Al-Hujjaj. And this is approximately 40 years. And meaning that, after learning the Quran, he said, for the people, teaching them the book of Allah Azza wa Jal for over 40 years. And then he said himself about this, and he, after narrating this narration, وَذَاكَ أَلَّذِي أَقْعَدَنِي مَقْعَدِي هَذَا. And this narration here is the reason that has caused me to sit here in this manner. This narration here was the encouragement for me, and what I heard narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this great reward and virtue is what caused me to sit here patiently teaching the people for this time. And this is a great benefit. Likewise, that the Salaf, they used to hear the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and believe in them, and they strive to implement them in their lives. He said, وَذَاكَ الَّذِي أَقْعَدَنِي مَقْعَدِي هَذَا. This narration here, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it. So therefore, a believer, he will hear the likes of this narration, and he will strive to be from the best, and he will strive to learn the Quran. And he will strive to learn it proficiently and to become precise and to memorize it and to understand it, and likewise to apply it in his life. And then after that as well, to help others learn by teaching them and guiding them and directing them. So here the goodness is coupled to two affairs. تَعَلُّمُ الْقُرْآنِ وَتَعْلِيمُهُ. تَعَلُّمُ الْقُرْآنِ, learning the Quran. وَتَعْلِيمُهُ, and teaching it. And no doubt, a person, before he can teach something, he must learn. So learning, it comes first. Learning, it comes first. And a person, he will not step up to teach before his time. This is blameworthy. This is blameworthy. In a great manner, but if he reaches the proper level and he becomes qualified, then he has benefit with them, then he will help the people, alhamdulillah. Then he will help the people, alhamdulillah. So learning the Quran and teaching the Quran. Learning the Quran and teaching the Quran is in two aspects. The people of knowledge, they mentioned, learning the Quran includes learning the recitation of the Quran, learning how to read the Quran, learning how to read the Quran properly, learning the makharij of the huruf and the sifat of the huruf, and learning how to pronounce the Quran, to pronounce the words properly, to the best of one's ability. And likewise, learning the mode of recitation and the general rules of the tajweed and the likes like this until a person, he can recite property. This is all from learning the Quran. But also included in learning the Quran is learning the meanings of the Quran. Many people today, they think that learning the Quran is simply to learn how to recite it. No doubt this is one aspect, and no doubt this is very virtuous and good, but it's not sufficient. Rather, this is the means and the aim and the goal of learning how to recite the Quran is learning how to understand it. Is learning how to understand it and learning how to reflect upon it and then learning how to implement it in one's life, learning those meanings and learning that law and legislation that is found therein. So to learn the Quran is from two aspects, ta'allumu hurufihi wa ta'allumu hududihi, that you learn its you learn its letters, meaning how to pronounce it and recite it, and learning its meanings and the limits that are found therein, and likewise teaching. And likewise teaching from the same two aspects, teaching the recitation, teaching the tajweed, teaching the memorization of the Quran and how to recite it, and also teaching the meanings of the Quran and the limits and the law that is found therein. And in order to do this, a person, he must be a person of the Quran and the Sunnah, and a person who was well-versed in the madhahib of the salaf of this ummah and understanding the rulings of the legislation. And the second aspect is the goal, and the first aspect is the means. The means is to learn how to recite, and the goal is to implement it, is to understand its meanings and implement it and apply it, and implement it and apply it. So no doubt the first aspect is very virtuous and beneficial, but more virtuous and more beneficial is learning its meanings and teaching its meanings, The role model with regards to this, learning the Quran and teaching it, is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He learned the Quran and he taught it to the people. But he learned the recitation of the Quran and he taught it to the people. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he learned the meanings of the Quran and he taught them to the people. He learned the law and legislation of the Quran, and he taught them to the people. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not just teach the companions how to recite and leave them at that. Rather, he taught them how to recite it, and likewise how to understand it and implement it and apply it. And this is from the meaning of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّفَكَّرُونَ. And we have revealed the book, the reminder, meaning the Quran, to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have revealed the dhikr, meaning the Quran, to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, so that you may clarify to the people that which was revealed to them. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, so that they may ponder and reflect. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught the people the words of the Quran and the mode of recitation of the Quran, and he also taught the people sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the meanings of the Quran and the law and legislation, the halal and the haram of the Quran, the commandments and the prohibitions that are found in the Quran. Also has been narrated as well from Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he said, حَدَّثَنَا الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يُقْرِئُونَنَا الْقُرْآنَ كَعُثْمَانِ بِنْ عَفَانِ وَعَبْدَ اللَّهِ بِنْ مَسْعُودِ وَغَيْرِهِمَا أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا تَعَلَّمُوا مِنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ 10 آيَاتٍ لَمْ يَتَجَاوَزُوهَا حَتَّى يَتَعَلَّمُوا مَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْعَمَلِ. That he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that those who taught us the Quran, like Uthman ibn Affan and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhum, they said that whenever they learned the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach them 10 verses at a time, and they would not go beyond them until they learned what they contained from knowledge and application. From knowledge and application. And then he said, Rahimahullah, فَقَالُوا فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنَ وَالْعِلْمَ وَالْعَمَلَ جَمِيعًا. So they said, meaning the companions, radiallahu anhum, that we learned the Quran and we learned the knowledge and application all together at the same time. This is likewise contrary to what some people are upon today by memorizing the Quran and having care and concern with memorizing and no care and concern whatsoever for learning the meanings. And this is contrary. Memorizing quickly and fast in a fast pace and then not having any care or concern for understanding any aspect of that whatsoever. And this is very dangerous. And many times a person, if he is not careful, he will recite the proofs against him. He'll be reciting that which he is contradicting directly, either in his creed or in his manners and conduct or in his worship or in his behavior and the likes like this, because this is all found in the Quran, great creed and belief, tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and servitude and submission and surrender to Allah alone with no partners from all aspects, inwardly and outwardly. And likewise, there is a law and legislation. There's halal, that which is permissible, and there's haram, that which is forbidden. There are commandments, that which is obligatory, and there are prohibitions, that which is forbidden and not allowed. All of this is found in the Quran. And a person, if he learns it but does not learn what it means, he will not be able to apply it, and the Quran will be a proof against him, wa'iyadhu billah. So it's very important, no doubt, to be concerned with memorizing the Quran, but we will not be negligent in learning the understanding likewise, whether a person he will try to gather between the both of them, even if he will only be able to read the translation along with that. Even if he's only able to, for example, to read the translation along with that, the translation of Dr. Muhsin Khan and Sheikh Taqiyuddin al-Hilali specifically, no other translation, reading the one that is well known, the translation of the meanings of the Noble Quran. If he were just to use this and to seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal in helping to understand what he's memorizing, inshallah, this is good. Even better, sitting in the classes of knowledge. And in reality, all of these classes here, they're the classes teaching the Quran, whether we're studying the Hadith, whether we're studying Bulugh al-Maram, or whether we're studying, for example, Umdat al-Ahkam, or we're studying Kitab al-Tawheed, or Surah Thalatha, or we're studying Qawaid Arba. All of this in reality is teaching the Quran. Even if we're studying the Arabic language, when we're learning Nahu, and we're learning Sarf and the likes like this, we're learning vocabulary. All of this is in reality learning the Quran. The only reason we study and learn the Arabic language is because we believe in the Quran and we want to understand the Quran. The only reason that we're learning the Sunnah because the Quran was revealed to the Prophet and he has revelation, and it's revelation clarifying the Quran. So all of this in reality is the study of the Quran. It goes back to the Quran. The Quran is the foundation of the religion. It's the foundation of the religion, of the knowledge of the religion. The revelation of the Quran is the greatest. It's the greatest of all books, the greatest of all revelation, contains the best and most beneficial and the greatest of all legislation. And it is revealed to the best and the final and the last of all prophets who clarify that in his Sunnah, which is also revelation. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this was their way. They'll learn the Quran and knowledge and application at the same time. And they'll learn what these verses mean and what they require and necessitate, how to implement them in one's life. A person, he will not learn the verses about the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal and then go call on the grave, wa'iyadhu billah, or learn the verses about the obligation of being kind and nice to the parents and not even saying to them, oof, and reciting them proficiently, and the likes like this, and then he has the worst tongue to his parents. He chooses and selects the sweetest speech for his friends or her friends, but their mother, they get the harshest tongue, wa'iyadhu billah, or their father, they get the disrespectful tongue or the ungrateful tongue. This is not proper. The Quran has mentioned the great rights of the parents. So the point is, barakallahu fikum, that no doubt we want to have concern memorizing the Quran, but also we must realize that the reason for that is so that we can benefit from it, and so that we can understand it, and so that we can know what it means and requires and necessitates, so that we can implement it, hoping for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's been narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu. He says, كَانَ الرَّجُلُ إِذَا قَرَأَ الْبَقَرَةَ كَانَ الرَّجُلُ إِذَا قَرَأَ الْبَقَرَةَ وَآلِ عِمْرَانَ جَلَّ فِي عَيُنِنَا. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he says that in his time, a man, if he were to memorize Baqarah and Ali Imran, then he would become noble in our eyes. And we consider him something great. And because of the methodology they would learn, they would memorize, and along with that, they would implement it and apply it, and they would understand it. So in this manner, they would be considered great. And this is also an indication that they were not hastening to learn. And it's been narrated from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that he memorized Surah Al-Baqarah in like 8 years. It took him 8 years to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah because he memorized in this manner, pondering and reflecting and striving to implement the Book of Allah. So we want to learn and memorize, but this is in order to implement and apply. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions a wonderful benefit here with regards to this issue in his explanation of Sahih Bukhari. He asks a question here. He says, rahimahullah, قَوْلُهُ خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَمُ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you is the one who learns the Qur'an and teaches it. He says, هَلْ يَشْمَرُ ذَلِكَ مَنْ أَعَانَ عَلَى تَعَلُمُ الْقُرْآنَ بِبِنَاءِ الْمَدَارِسِ وَشِرَاءِ الْمَصَاحِفِ وإجراء الرواتب للمتعلمين وما أشبه ذلك. He said, is this virtue here the best of you? Is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it, is it included here the one who helps and aids and supports upon that way by building schools for teaching the Quran and by purchasing masahif and the likes for the students and by giving a salary for the students to be free and to learn and to study and the likes of this, is this all included here? And yeah, would this person be included here? And he himself is not learning the Quran nor is he teaching it, but he's aiding and building places for that or supporting those who are involved in that. Does he have the virtue? Shaykh Uthaymeen, he says, rahimahullah, al-jawabu na'am yadkhulu fi dhalika. He said, yes, he's included in this, and included in this great virtue. He says, walau kana na'iman ala farashihi, even if he's sleeping in his bed. He's in his bed, sleeping in his home. He's not striving to memorize. He's not going through the difficulty of memorization or learning the pronunciation. He's not dealing with the students and trying to teach them and the likes like this, restricting his time to this affair. Rather, he's doing what he likes. But because he had put his money in the proper place and he put his effort or his status in the society and the likes, however he used his charity, whether it's financially or whether it's by making the proper connections for the people and the likes like this, or whether it's with some technical or engineering aspect that he had put forth for this particular effort, he's sharing in the reward. This is what he's saying here. Even if he's in his grave and is dead, and the benefits of that which he had participated in continue, then he continues to receive a reward. He says, لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ مَنْ جَهَّزَ غَازِيًا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ غَزَى وَمَنْ خَلَفَهُ فِي أَهْلِهِ بِخَيْرٍ فَقَدْ غَزَى. This is because of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever prepares the provision and whoever supplies the provision for a soldier in the path of Allah, then indeed he himself is fighting in the path of Allah. Then he's considered that he went out and he's fighting. And whoever took care of his family after him or behind him, then with goodness, then he is faqad ghaza. Then he is himself went out in the path of Allah, and he's considered sharing with him exactly. And he himself is not going out and putting his life on the line and facing the enemy in the battlefield, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam considered him as if he's doing that because of his participation. Because of his participation and his good intention and his help in this manner. And it's really a wonderful benefit how the Shaykh rahimahullah, he chose this narration, because there are many narrations. Ad-dalu ala khayri kafa'irihi man da'a ila huda falahu mithlu ajri man amila bihi. And the narrations that clarify this issue are many, clarifying that the one who helps someone or participates in good, he shares in the reward of that. But here he mentioned the narration with regards to the soldier fighting in the path of Allah. And this is a great fiqh and understanding and a subtle benefit. And that is because seeking knowledge and teaching is jihad. Rather, it's the greatest jihad. It's the greatest jihad, greater than the jihad with the sword. The greatest jihad is not the jihad with the sword. No doubt this is jihad. But the greatest jihad is the jihad of learning. learning and teaching and spreading the truth and clarifying the religion, teaching the deen, spreading the sunnah, refuting the falsehood, and admonishing the people and teaching them and cultivating them. This is a type of jihad. Rather, many of the people of knowledge from the Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned is the greater jihad. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. After this, the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the narration of Abi Umama al-Bahili radiyallahu anhu. He says, وَلِمُسْلِمٍ عَنْ أَبِي أُمَامَةَ وَلِمُسْلِمٍ عَنْ أَبِي أُمَامَةَ رَضِيَ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ اِقْرَأُوا الْقُرْآنِ فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. اقرأ الزهراوين البقرة وسورة آل عمران إنهما تأتيان يوم القيامة كأنهما غمامتان أو كأنهما غايتان أو فرقان من طير صواف تحاجان عن أصحابهما. اقرأ سورة البقرة فإن أخذها بركة وتركها حسرة ولا تستطيعها البطرة. And it has been connected by Muslim from Abu Umamah radiallahu anhu that he said, he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, recite the Quran, for on the day of resurrection it will come as an intercessor for those who recite it. Recite the two shining ones, recite the two shining ones, the two enlightened bright ones, Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, for on the day of resurrection they will come as two clouds, as two shades, or two shades, or two flocks of birds and ranks pleading for those who recite them. Recite Surah Al-Baqarah, for using it produces blessing and abandoning it produces regret, and the magicians are unable to recite it. Inshallah, in our class to come we take this narration. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.